This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A lot of changes going on with the Los Angeles Chargers. One man, though, he's not going anywhere. That's Austin Eckler, now moving up that depth chart at the running back position, as he'll be the number one guy and is also back with the Los Angeles Chargers on a four-year contract, and he's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Austin, congratulations, and how are you?
Hey, I appreciate that introduction, and I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
How are you holding up during these crazy times right now as the entire world's adapting?
Kind of like everyone else, just trying to find a way to carry on life as I knew it before, but just, you know, with a little bit different scenery, more of my house. So it's definitely tough, but trying to still get these workouts in and stay healthy.
Where are you living at these days?
I'm actually in California right now. So I'm stuck out here right now just because of the lockdown, because Colorado just went on lockdown. So I usually go back and forth between there.
So what's the scene been like? If you take me inside your house, your apartment right now, what are you doing to have some fun when the way that we like to enjoy fun obviously has been altered these days?
Right. So in my house, I'm living with my girlfriend right now. So we've been doing things to kind of, you know, stay active in a sense, because if you don't know, I'm a workout warrior. She is too. And so we have a Twitch stream, and we've been doing workouts with people on Twitch. Tay does a lot of the workouts, her workouts in the living room. I also just do like just chatting, like start a live stream and talk to, you know, people that want to get in the chat room and say what's up. I do some giveaways, and, you know, so still trying to, you know, stay active in the social atmosphere with a lot of, you know, a lot of, I guess, nothing going on as far as like content, trying to create and give people a way to interact with, you know, me and the situation that I'm in too, because I know there's a lot of hype around it, but it's kind of, you know, suppressed by what's going on in the real world.
It's a really good message, because you don't want to sit around the couch and not be productive. And I know the way that we're usually productive has been taken away from us. So you got to find different ways. Right when this happened and my gym got shut down, I'm in my basement right now doing the show. Across from me, I'm looking at the dumbbells that I went out and purchased. I got the elliptical on the way too. So take me through right now, Austin, the Austin Eckler workout. What is a typical workout like for you right now under the new circumstances?
So for me right now, luckily my girlfriend is a trainer, and so she has a lot of ideas and different ways to, you know, work the body. But I've been doing a lot of HIIT workouts. It's high intensity interval training. So it's a lot of full body movements. It's a lot of volume and like times, not for necessarily reps. So you do as many of the movement as you can in a certain amount of time. So she's been taking me through some of those and just keeping me as far as in as shape as I can without, you know, heavy duty equipment that I'm used to having. And so, like, I have a few little dumbbells, like my highest one goes up to 25. So like the curls and all that, you know, the arms still get worked normally, but, you know, for like your bigger movements, yeah, definitely, try to find a way to, I guess, replace that is pretty hard.
Austin Eckler here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So even though it's a different time, it's also an exciting time for you, because in this offseason you got the four-year contract to stay with the Chargers. What does that contract mean to you to get that extension?
That just means, for me, it's kind of just been like the next chapter of my life. I feel like I've been going along and, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity that's been presented, and I feel like this is the next opportunity that's presented as far as with the contract. And, you know, a few more years in the league out here with the Chargers, it's just presenting more opportunities for me to take advantage of. and hopefully move that and on to the next chapter. So I'm really excited for these next few years and what it has to hold as far as I couldn't tell you, but I know just as far as my life's gone so far, I've had opportunities present themselves and I've been able to, for my opinion, take advantage of them and put myself in a good spot as far as socially, you know, financially, and then as a personal level as well.
No, it's the correct opinion, because your entire life from Western State, Colorado, to being undrafted to now getting that extension, you've been doubted, and all throughout the way you've been proving people wrong. Take me through your recruiting process. How'd you wind up at Western State, Colorado?
Right. So I grew up in Colorado, and I went to a small farm town for high school called Eaton, Colorado. So shout out to Eaton, Colorado. It was just a great atmosphere out there just because there was a great community that was really tight-knit, like a lot of small communities. So I grew up with kind of the same people that I graduated with. And actually one of my best friends, a long snapper for the Raiders. Kind of funny, we graduated together too. So coming out of a smaller school, it's really hard to get a lot of like big schools to recruit you just because of the competition level. And you're just, I guess, you're seen and, like your, I don't know, your atmosphere around your school isn't as high. And so, you know, you kind of get overlooked, or it's easy to get overlooked. And it's not like I didn't put up numbers. Like my senior year, I think I had 2,400 rushing yards and 43 touchdowns. So I was expecting to go Division I, and I was expecting that none of the Division I offers ever came. It was all Division II, small schools from around the area. And even those schools kind of looked at me and they're like, well, you know, you're a good athlete. We don't know where you fit in on a team, but we'd like to recruit you as an athlete. And I knew I didn't want to do that. I think it was because I was 5'8", like 180. So people are like, okay, maybe not running back, maybe like a DB or something like that. But I wanted to play running back. And Western State, Colorado University, at the time that was the name, came to me and they're like, hey, we want you to play running back. And bam, I signed then.
It's such a wild story, and I love stories like this, and that's one of my favorite parts of football, when people get overlooked and people get doubted and they end up keep on fighting and pursuing their goals and getting their goals. How frustrating was that for you? Because like you said, the numbers were always there, the talent was always there, but no matter what you were doing, even when you had success in college, no one drafted you. So how frustrating was that when you're sitting there saying, what else is there for me to possibly do?
Right. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to your connections and, you know, who you get in front of, and just, you know, your connections will take you really far in this world. But for me, yeah, it was frustrating, especially coming out of high school, because my offensive coordinator, his twin brother, was actually the receivers coach at the D1AA school that was right down the road. So even they, you know, could have offered me like a full ride or, you know, a bigger scholarship at their school. It was just a little bit more competitive. But, you know, they didn't really look at me either. They wanted me as a preferred walk-on. And I was just confused. And I didn't know if it was just because of my physical attributes or, like, I didn't know what was turning people off me. It's not like I had bad grades or anything. I actually had pretty good grades. And I think it was just, you know, the school that I went to and just the competitiveness of the league, I guess. They didn't think it was up to par. But, you know, it's once you could, as an individual, the only thing I could do was just put my head down and control what I can control. And I'm going to keep, you know, I was proactively, like, you know, sending my film to people. And I was, you know, checking all the boxes as far as trying to get my name out there. And even in college, it's a little bit easier because the NFL has more resources to scout. You know, I didn't get drafted, you know, but there was one team that was really, really excited about me. And that's because the scout that came to scout me also scouted Danny Woodhead, and he saw a lot that Danny had that I had. And so it literally just came down to me just putting my head down, working and seizing and taking advantage of the moment, and then working forward from there. And that's what's gotten me to this point, is just, all right, taking it bit by bit. Don't get too caught up in all the hype and everything like that, 5-star, 4-star, drafted, undrafted. Just whatever you have right now in your life, you have to take advantage of that before you can move forward.
Austin Eckler, who's the one guy or the one message that was told to you, and you were told, "Ah, you're never going to become an NFL running back. You're living in fantasy land." Is there one person that really still sticks to you to this day that motivated you along the way?
See, I don't really think I have that type of story. I feel like my story has been, I've been in small communities, and so it's just been the community that it's been like, just, it's not the community. The community has my back 100%. Like, that's what's great about a small community. They all believed in me. They're all like, hey, I think you could do it. You know, you just got to keep working. Like, I don't know how you can do it, but I think you can, if anyone can. And so they hauled my back, you know, my family, you know, the rest of the community, my friends that I grew up with, even in high school people, or in college, people were like, yeah, man, you got some talent. And so they had my back, and it was just at that point, it's like, okay, now, like, what's next? Like, now I have to, you know, I contact someone who's at this next level, or, you know, get in front of their eyes somehow. And that came down to my connections, like I was talking about. You know, my head coach, you know, ended up giving me a pro day at CU, and so did my trainer. And so it kind of worked out for me. And it came back just to my connections getting me an opportunity. But, yeah, my community's had my back, so I appreciate them for that.
Austin Eckler here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When you saw Melvin Gordon was signing with the Denver Broncos on a two-year contract, what was your reaction?
I was glad that he signed with the team, but now I was like, man, why is he signing in our division? just because I already know when we first time we played Denver, it's going to come from the reporters. Everyone's going to be talking like, so is this going to be a test between you and Melvin about who's the better running back? And it's like, it's not like that. Like, every week we're trying to prove that we're the best running back in the league, you know? It's like, so just because he was on my team last year doesn't mean it's going to be any different than any other running back. Like, it'll be more fun for us just to see each other compete against each other, but that's about it. So I'm glad he got signed for sure, but I wish he was out of division just to save some of us from the reporters that are going to attack us those 2 weeks.
Yeah, trust me. If I was in that locker room, I'd be asking you those questions. There's no doubt about that. But when we talked to Melvin at the Super Bowl, and he was very emotional about the contract situation and how everything played out last year. Being a teammate, being someone that was friendly with him and was close with him, I know business is business, but what was it like last year to go through that experience seeing Melvin Gordon not in the locker room when the season started?
Well, being a running back, you know, I kind of had two opinions on it. Well, the same opinion, but like two like ways of looking at it. One being like, he's a running back. I need him to, I hope he gets paid like what he wants to get paid, because that helps me set the market for myself in the future. You know, like, cause he's an easy comparable because we play on the same team. So I can compare my stats. Look, he got paid this. Look, I'm on the same team. I did this, so I can compare myself that way, contract business-wise. But at the same time, you know, he's one of our playmakers. So him not being there, you know, it might have hurt us. It might have not have. I don't know. But it just, it seemed like we was missing, like, you know, we were missing some consistency last year. And, you know, I think when Melvin held out as much, he didn't miss as much football as he did, it kind of hurt us in the end as far as, you know, having one of our playmakers back in the locker room.
He told me at the Super Bowl, Austin Eckler, that he wanted to go back to the Chargers and that he thought that it could happen. When he said that, I didn't think he was going to go back to the Chargers, though. I didn't think they were going to bring him back, even if he wanted to come back. Did you believe when the season ended last year that there was at least a chance for him to come back, or did you think it was most likely going to be him going somewhere else?
I wish I could answer that. Like, I don't know. Because there's so much disconnect between, you know, management and us. You know, I thought maybe, like, with Coach Lynn firing Wisenhunt and maybe having more of, like, say in the offense or something like that. Like, I know he's a running back coach. He was a running back coach for, like, 20 years, that maybe he'd want Melvin being, like, a bigger back, more like a, you know, pound between the tackles back. Maybe they want him back. But there's no talent. I had no idea. That came across my mind one time in a conversation, but that was just briefly. Literally, like, I was talking to my agent, we're like, because we're trying to get a deal, so we're like, well, if they're dealing with a deal with us, I don't really see how they can do a deal with Melvin and me at the same time. So when we started talking numbers, that's kind of where it came apparent to me. It's like, oh, they might not be signing Mel back.
Austin Eckler here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So not only is Melvin Gordon leaving, Philip Rivers has also left too. The organization parted ways with him, and now he's with Indianapolis. What was it like to be a teammate of Philip Rivers?
First of all, I just love Philip. I'm going to miss him so much just because he made my career transition from college to the pros way easier than probably a lot of, you know, other, you know, rookies coming in with younger quarterbacks. And just because he took charge out there, like, he's been playing for 17 years, 16 years now. And so he just knows how everything's supposed to be done. He knows the defenses, he knows the checks, he, you know, it was just easy to communicate with him because he was so confident in what he was doing, and he could get you in the right spot and help you if you didn't know. And so it's definitely going to be a struggle trying to replace that leadership. I don't think you really can unless you get a guy that's, you know, been doing it like that. Like Tom Brady might have been able to, you know, be a contender for that. But, you know, you just get that with time. That was a special type of a person he was on and off the field too. I know, like, he would take us out and we'd go to a dinner, you know, just have camaraderie and stuff like that at, you know, at preseason games or, like, the bye week and things like that. So I'm definitely going to miss him and, you know, hope the best for him. And he reached out to me when I got my new contract, you know, talked about how he enjoyed playing with me, and that really meant a lot to me too, just because, you know, he's one of the legends in the league. It's been around for forever, it seems like, in my eyes, and for me to be able to play with him was pretty special.
Were you hoping the Chargers were going to sign Tom Brady?
I honestly wasn't caring. I mean, sure, it would be awesome to say, yeah, I played with two of the best of all time to ever do it. But, you know, that would have been a cool experience for that. But, I mean, I was just focused basically on my contract. Now that I have it, I'm just focused on, okay, hopefully we get a guy that's level-headed that can come in and, you know, and learn from us and we can help him, you know, help us.
If it is Tyrod Taylor for this upcoming season, why could Tyrod Taylor have success and get the Chargers back to the playoffs?
Shoot, he's been doing it for a while too. Before I even knew about Tyrod coming in last year, you know, he's just one of the smarter players in the league. I feel like this man was literally the first one in the locker room every day, like every morning. Tyrod's there before everyone else. I don't know, maybe he's just a freak morning person, but he's super dedicated to the game. Even as taking a backup role last year behind Phillip, he was still in the game. And that's what I think, you know, is going to give us a chance because he is dedicated. He's super athletic. He makes smart decisions. And, you know, he started for a few teams, so he has that experience. And so that comes with that leadership comes with that too. And, you know, we have a lot of playmakers around him to make his job a little bit easier. So I think we can get it done.
Nothing against Tyrod Taylor, but let's say if management elects to bring in Cam Newton, how would you react to that one since Cam now is a free agent?
You know, kind of similar case. You know, he's got a little bit more personality, which I'm always down for. I think it's hilarious. I think Cam's funny. Just what I'm seeing on social media. And, you know, I saw Christian talking about him and, you know, giving him props and how much he respected him. So I feel like he'd be a great fit too. I feel like, honestly, any quarterback would. Like I said, this the most important thing is just, hey, you're just level-headed and just willing not to, you know, treat us like lesser human beings. We don't get paid as much as you.
Two more with Austin Eckler. When you look back at this season, what do you pinpoint to? Because a lot of people were picking the Chargers to get back to the postseason. We know what happened the year before that. You guys had a successful run. When you review the season, what was it? Why was this team? I know there was a lot of injuries too, but why wasn't this team as successful?
Just inconsistencies. That's what it came down to. Like you said, we had some success the year before this last year. We were 12-4. And then, you know, we basically had the same team, like a few guys here and there that are missing from that team before, but basically the same exact team coming back. And, you know, injuries did hurt us. You know, Melvin sat out for the first four games. And so I feel like we were just inconsistent. But I also feel like maybe we thought, like, hey, we've done it before. We have the same guys back. It's just going to happen. And literally, I think we lost only two games by more than 7 points. So it seemed like we were in every game. And we were at the moment, it's like, okay, we have an opportunity to win the game. But then we fall short. And it just was literally, that was the story of the season. You know, week in and week out, it was just seemed like, it was an emotional roller coaster. Because, like, hey, we got a chance. We're still in it. And then we lose by barely. And like, oh, my God. Like, what is it? Like, every single week, it was just inconsistency. So I feel like, you know, switching up the roster a little bit, getting some new leadership, I feel like that's going to help set a new culture, hopefully for the better of us playing, you know, obviously in the new stadium, everything like that, so we can set the culture there too and, you know, get some fans, some good games to watch. But that's what it came down to last year was just us being inconsistent.
Last one for you, Austin. When we look at the next chapter of your career, now you're back with that 4-year contract. What are you trying to do individually next?
For me, I keep the same goals. I've had the same goals since I was a rookie, and that's just build off of last season. So last season, funny story, last season I was projecting myself to be playing special teams and offense. and, you know, kind of have a role here and there whenever I can get into the offense. And obviously that didn't happen. I was primarily offense and, you know, put up some pretty decent numbers. So I definitely built off the season before that. And so now I set the bar pretty high for myself going into this next year and looking to, you know, best that and, you know, hopefully push for that Pro Bowl and, you know, make some of these fantasy owners happy.
Well, Austin, we appreciate it. I guess I'll have to draft you for this upcoming fantasy draft. You and your girlfriend, you stay safe, keep on working out, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.